This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Chris Clem.
Uncle Hordano, when I grow up, I want to be Chris Clem.
Well, why wait till you grow up? You could be Chris Clem now.
Really?
Sure thing, kid. Put on these Zubaz pants.
These are really big.
Yeah, you'll grow into them once you start eating enough Dunkin' Donuts and White Castle.
My parents tell me that's not healthy at all.
Well, do you want to be Chris Clem or not?
Yes!
Now, who's your favorite Cavs player?
Sean Kemp.
And who's your favorite rapper?
Kid Rock.
And who's the best rock star of all time?
Billy Joel.
You are ready.
Give me a suggestion. I'll make a joke.
I'm done playing now.
That's Chris Clem.
This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Hordano Diablo.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Hordano Diablo.
And this week is a very controversial topic because some people are for it and some people are against it. And sometimes it's situational, but we'll see what our guest has to say about it. Joining us this week is Funny Stop employee and fantastic new comedian from the Akron area, Brett Thomas.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Brett.
So, why do you hate bullying?
I hate bullying because it's I don't like mean people.
Okay.
And I feel like people who bully are insecure about themselves.
Without a doubt.
And I honestly feel like I'm an easy target because I'm nerdy looking.
He is nerdy looking. For those of you that did not see the picture of him when you clicked on this, Brett is he's kind of Napoleon firecracker. he has a Jufro. You look like a propaganda poster for Jews in Ireland. You don't like mean people, but we hang out all the time. How does that work?
Well, you're like nice to me. Like you don't push me around. You don't use me. If you're mean, it's like in a joking manner because we're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's. I mean, that's what I've always said about Shear. Is like he's not a bully. He's a dick. But, like, he doesn't mean, like, for people he likes, I mean, he's truly one of the nicest fucking people on the planet. I guess I probably shouldn't give your secrets out. But, I mean.
Just let the hate flow through you. Not but, let the soft flow through you.
But, no, I mean, were you bullied in high school?
Actually, no. I was bullied in elementary and middle school a little bit. And I get more bullied in my adult life than I did in my childhood, which is kind of sad.
How? For example, give me an example. All right.
So I have this job, and I work at a car wash, and I work at, like, with a bunch of people around my age, and they just really like to pick on me. Like, I get called Hunchback.
Okay.
Why do you get called
hunchback? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
You don't have a hunchback.
My posture's not the best, and this one guy says, he says I have the weakest back at the car wash.
I don't see it.
No, and also, like, is that what that guy aspires to be for the rest of his life, is a fucking car wash employee?
I think so.
Okay, then right there, you're winning. I mean, at least you're trying to do something with your fucking life. That guy's like, I got the strongest back at the car wash. Great. That's like being the person who won the retarded Olympics. Fucking awesome.
Does he sniff the seats after he drives out the cars?
Probably.
Okay. That's, look, there are perks to working in a car wash. That's all I'm saying. I used to buy drugs from a car wash.
Really?
We would drive up, and the passenger that I was with who knew the guys would hand over a 20, and then we pull off to the side, and we get a one of those punch cards, but be folded over, and inside would be a 20 bag. And we did that a lot, and it was wonderful.
Right on.
I work with this woman, and her boyfriend's not allowed at the car wash anymore because he was selling drugs there, and he doesn't even work there.
So if he did work there, no problems.
Well, he was stepping on their turf.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't take away their money. I mean, there's an overhead if you're going to sell drugs out of a place.
No, I mean, like, I was bullied. I mean, not bullied. I mean, there was always bullies, sure, like elementary school, middle school. And then I think it was like 11th grade, because I had this. There was this one bully that I've talked about him on the show before, who was a grade above me, who like just tried to make my life completely fucking miserable, and I didn't, and I never understood it, you know, because I was friends with a lot of people in their grade. I was friends with every different group of people in high school. Like, I had friends in each group. I didn't like stick to one. Like, I stuck to my core group, but whatever. And finally, in 11th grade, I had finally had enough and called this bully out in front of, you know, I want to say 150, 200 kids in study hall, and like called him out. And he's like, "Oh, you want to fight?" And he's like, "Let's go to the bathroom." I was like, "No, let's just go right now. Let's show everybody how fucking tough you are." And we did not fight, and he never fucking bothered me again, because I think I made him look so small by calling him out. But in my adult life, like, I don't allow myself, like, if somebody tries to pull that shit, I mean, I'm like, no, I'm going to smack you the fuck around with my words. Yeah. And my dick.
What was what had happened to you in elementary? It was just nerd stuff, or
It was more like in the fifth grade. I think I was in middle school. There's this kid on my bus, and he used to make fun of my mom being dead. Like, when I was like 11.
Wow.
That's did you ever find out what was going on with that kid? That seems like a fucked up thing to...
I think he had a rough home life, I think.
Mm. So it was projecting his rough home life onto you because, yeah, he's like, I've got it better than this kid. At least my mom's not dead. She may be drinking herself to death and giving me a couple of swats yeah. every night.
She might burn me with a hot iron every once in a while, but
she's still alive.
Yeah,
I still have to have a negative opinion of women for the rest of my life because she constantly beats me, but, you know, she's still alive.
Is that dude dead?
I wish. No, but I did stand up to him one time, like I was 11, and I pushed him, and then, like, a teacher saw, and then, I don't know, it was the end of that.
Yeah, I remember, like, the kid I was just talking about, I found out a couple years after high school, that, like, I was at a party with people I went to high school with, and they were like, "Oh, yeah," they brought up him. And I was like, you know, fuck that dude. Like, that dude's a piece of shit. And they were like, "Well, the reason he was such a dick to you is, like, he has MS. I was like, "Good. I fucking am happy he has MS. Fucking good. He deserves that kind of shit." And people were like, "You're mean." I was like, "I know. I'm the bully now."
I understand. Somebody I hate fell down the stairs and had to have brain surgery, and I got a big old chub.
I had a job landscaping, and I worked with these two guys, and they were like real dicks to me. And like the one fell off the dump truck and landed on his head, and I was like, thank God.
Schadenfreude's so wonderful.
It is. It's great. You know, when that kind of shit happens, when like people have it coming, and they like, I'm sorry, I don't have any remorse for you. Like, none whatsoever. And I'm a pretty, like, loving, caring person, too. And, like, I don't want people to get hurt. But when you're a fucking asshole and you deserve it, haha.
Yeah. I got bullied quite a bit growing up. Yes, because I was fat. And looking back, I was probably a little bit of a dick.
You?
Yeah. Well, it's, school was too easy.
Yeah.
So,
you're not an idiot, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wasn't an idiot, but, you know, when left to my own devices with nothing to do, what else am I going to do but fuck with people? And I'm not sure if that's what was going on or not, because my memory's kind of hazy around that time. Like, something had to be, it had to be something else besides, like, just, we're bored and we're going to grab various fat parts of your body and describe fatty foods. It was.
I don't mean to laugh at that.
I'm not trying to be a dick, but like, did they grab a different part and call it like a different food group?
Yeah, it was not a different food group. I mean, you know, there are very few fat fruits. Well, except for Jordan. No, but I just remember this was mostly the bullying really started at private school.
I get bullied on this podcast weekly, by the way. So I don't want to give you your shit. Your fucking crybaby story. Go ahead.
No, this is it was weird because it was there was a guy. He was an Italian, of course. It's always
and you're Jewish.
No, it's always the Italian boys that touch me. But he would grab my butts and go rump roast, and then grab my tits and go breast of chicken, and then he'd grab my belly and go pot roast. But here's the thing about that private school. Eventually, we got to the next grade, and they gave us 15 minutes of recess before the last hour of school, where it was generally study hall for everybody to get us a little energy before we had to sit down again. So for some reason, they just let us all go like to a secluded area and beat the shit out of each other. So eventually, like, you know, things just got settled there. And I was still, you know, a little bit doughy, so I fell down a lot. But I held my own because, you know, I was big, so I was able to, you know, shove people a little bit and hurt them. But that kind of, I don't know, maybe they were onto something. Like, you know, if things are able to be settled physically, then it's like, well, now you can't back up the shit you're talking. So, I don't know. It was very strange. I didn't stay at that private school because it was just a constant reminder. So that was fat.
How do you react when you see other people get bullied?
I don't like it at all. I feel like I feel like I stand up for people who are getting bullied, rather than like if I get bullied. Yeah. Like I'd rather see someone else not get bullied, or if someone's talking like shit about somebody,
yeah,
I'll go, no, what are you talking about? Or yeah, I'll stand up for them because I don't know, it's like weird.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
oh no, I get that because I get angrier about shit happening to other people than when shit happens to me.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There's no doubt about that.
I've been up for 2 days.
That's, I mean,
I got pissed off.
That's why, I mean, I think that's a big part of the reason that I'm into a lot of the shit that I'm into, like Batman and, like, you know, comic books in general, but Batman specifically, or Star Wars. Like, those are the things that, like, made me feel better, you know, when, you know, because what does Batman essentially do? He beats up fucking bullies.
Yeah.
And that's why I've had an affinity for that my entire life, I think.
I'm still trying to get the whole hunchback thing, and I'm not getting it.
I don't know. Oh, speaking of that guy, everyone I work with is, like, childish, and he has, like, a really bad hairline, and somebody made, like, an Instagram page of, like, close-ups of his hairline. The captions are hilarious.
That's fucking great.
Because more people are sick of his shit, I guess.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Like, in the one, he's wearing a hat and it says, "Hey, man, don't hide my shame."
That's wonderful. I don't know. I just got used to the bullying because it continued throughout high school, and it got worse. People were still grabbing me, but it was because I had big old titties. And sexually confused boys cannot be confronted with big old titties just out in their face like that. You know, you can't just have this effeminate child take off his shirt in the locker room and you see just titties there. And it's like, these are the only time you're going to get a chance to touch titties because, you know, girls don't have theirs yet. But here's this boy and they can't do anything about it. So I just get them squeezed together and, you know. I'm sure if they figured out how their dicks worked, I would have been titty-fucked in front of the gym teacher. But
in front of the gym teacher?
Oh, yeah. The gym teacher's really into me getting grabbed. It was, I could see them getting off on it. Like, yeah, get that little fat boy. He doesn't belong in this class. It's too late for him to exercise. Yeah, show him who's boss.
Wasn't there a PlayStation game that was called Bully that like you could go around and like, is it pay bullies back or were you the bully?
You played it, right?
Like briefly, aren't you the one getting bullied and you have to get back at
people? Is that what it is?
Is that
basically what it is you play a character named Jimmy Hopkins who has been sent around from boarding school to boarding school, and you arrive at this new place where there are five cliques. And there's a clique, the first clique that you go up against, because basically the end game is to take over all the cliques and unite the school. Mm-hmm. But the first clique is the bullies. And they go around and they, you know, they noogie people and they beat them up. And then Jimmy's like, no, this is bullshit. And then he fights back.
Okay.
And one by one, he just gets the cliques to stop hurting each other and unite the school. But then there's this sociopathic kid named Gary who is manipulating events behind the scenes to screw everything up because he's a monster.
Okay.
He dresses up like an SS officer for Halloween. So
to
really nail the point home. And little Jim Norton plays a police officer in the game.
Oh, too. Does he?
Yeah, which is right odd when you're getting arrested by Jim Norton. It's like, this is weird.
That's awesome. No, yeah. I didn't know, because I was going to say, I do think it would be kind of weird if they made a game that, like, you're the bully.
Yeah. Well, you have the option.
Okay.
But, you know.
But you can, like, either unite the front or bully people into it.
It's more like, you know how in Grand Theft Auto, like, you can go around and shoot random pedestrians and shit, but the cops will come after you?
Uh-huh.
You can go around and bully random people and shove them into lockers and shit and give them swirlies, but then you get in trouble. And it doesn't really advance the plot of the game.
I might need to get a PS2.
If you get caught for bullying people, is it like Grand Theft Auto and you go to detention, they take away your lunch money?
They take away all your illegal weapons.
Because
there are firecrackers and stink bombs and stuff like that. I played a lot of it.
Rockstar do it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes total sense then.
It actually... I like the fighting system in it better than the Warriors, but it came out around the same time.
Oh, okay. I remember that game, yeah.
Warriors, so it was like, fun. Yeah, you had, because it's easier. It's also, you graffiti in it, too. So it's the graffiti system's way easier in Bully. Like, I stopped playing the Warriors because I kept getting the graffiti wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's available for a bunch of different systems. And
I do have an Xbox if it's on Xbox.
It is.
Oh, cool. Sweet. Xbox original. See, he actually came on to talk about, Brett came on to talk about just the game Bully. Oh, we finally got to it. Okay. Yeah. I hate that fucking game.
Oh, I love it. I ended up, eventually, I think I let my kid play it because I had to figure, there was a big uproar about this game.
I do remember that.
You know why? Because people didn't play it, so they assumed you played the part of the bully, which is not the part of the story. You know, the story is, you know, you're uniting the school. But you can also kiss boys.
Really?
You can kiss boys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Right. And it gives you your health back. And in order to kiss boys before you get your English skill up to where you don't have to anymore, you have to give them a present. So you can give a boy flowers and plant one on him. And then when your skill gets really high, not only are you kissing the boy, but you grab him and you put him down a little bit and you feel him up a bit.
Really?
Yeah.
What happens after the third date?
after the third date, you wake up in your room with no pants.
And all your health is back.
Yeah.
Your father's disappointed.
Yeah, but it doesn't get you in trouble. There's no like prefect pointing at you says being gay. That pissed off a lot of people.
Okay. I mean, that came out in what? Probably like 2004, 2005, somewhere in that area?
I think a little later than that, but because I don't remember if I rented it from Blockbuster first or not. But yeah, it's a fantastic game. Highly recommended.
Look at us talking vintage games.
I can't believe it's a vintage game now. God, I'm so old. It was one of the last games I bought for the Wii when I had it.
Oh, it came out for Wii?
Yeah,
oh,
which was it was weird because the fighting system was like nunchuck and
yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Right.
So here's the big question, Mr. Thomas.
All right.
You're relatively new to stand-up comedy. What has been your worst bullying experience when you've been doing comedy?
I'm not going to drop any names, but I've been told that, like, my joke writing has gotten worse.
Which is bullshit.
Thank you. I've been regularly doing stand-up for, like, 9 months. But I dipped my toes in it about, like, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, like, my first year, I had done it, like, 10 times. And the first time I did comedy was at the Funny Stop on an amateur night. And I brought out, like, a bunch of friends. And I had some jokes that were, like, decent for my first time. And, like, I surprisingly did well because, like, the crowd was really good and they knew it was my first time. And people are always like, man, Brett, you should go back to your old jokes. And I'm like, they just liked me because, like, I was new and awkward. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that is likability makes a big difference when you're on stage. But, you know, I just watched you last night, and what got a laugh immediately? So, you know, I was raised by my grandma. Yeah. And, like, they immediately were like, all right, so this is exactly how it looks. Perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But, that's about it. And, like, everyone in the scene has been really cool and uplifting besides that person. But.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me off mic who it is so I can tell you if I think they're a fucking asshole. I yeah. probably do. I think most of them are fucking assholes.
Yeah. We hate on a lot of people. They didn't pay their $20 a month, though, at patreon.com/dirtyshear.
Nobody has, so everybody's still on the fucking...
You know.
Shit list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us money.
Give us money or we'll make up lies about you. For instance, did you know that Mike Meadows waxes his goatee with children?
With children.
He grinds up children, and that's how he gets those...
Lets it get all caked on there.
Yeah, and then he stretches it out so it looks like he has little devil horns.
I was always wondering why when he brings his daughter around, she looks so upset.
Yeah, yeah, because she has no friends left. So, you know, pay her $20 a month or I make up lies about you. For example, did you... No. Is this bullying or is this just me being...
It's sheer being sheer.
Yeah.
That's not... That doesn't constitute as bullying.
All right, so this is the question then. The WWE got a lot of heat for having an anti-bullying campaign when, in reality, you've got storylines where, you know, people are yelling at each other, etc. What makes it cross the line from just regular shit talk to bullying?
What I love professional wrestling...
Oh, and, we have that in common.
Yeah. And the thing about WWE is it's like it's its own universe.
Yeah.
And that's how they solve their problems and gain, like, popularity is by, like, shit-talking and wrestling. So yeah. It's like it's not bullying. That's how they get to the top, like, betraying each other, like a tag partner or...
Well, and the end goal, no matter what, at the end of the day, you look at somebody like Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was always the good guy until he turned NWO, but... He always came out on top. The good guy always ends up coming out on top. Even if he loses 3 out of 5 matches, as long as he wins that last one, that's what fucking matters. As long as he's triumphant over the bad guy, over the bully. And they do, I mean, what I thought you were going with that was like with the whole JBL thing.
Oh,
like him being a backstage piece of shit. And look who's not on TV anymore. JBL.
Yeah.
It took him off. But, yeah, they caught a lot of shit for that because, like, they preach all this anti-bullying shit, but, like, if you know anything about the backstage stuff, Vince encourages that shit. And oh, has really? Forever. Oh, yeah. Big time. Like, he thinks it's funny. Like, and he'll be the butt of a joke, too. Like, he'll definitely, he's fine with that. But, like, I mean, if you read any of that stuff, like, Vince has always been, like, him and JB, the reason that dude has had a job forever is because they're tight. Makes sense.
Yeah.
That is how, like, it is. It's its own universe. That's how they solve yeah. things. It's a show. It's yeah. just like watching a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Or a soap opera.
Yeah. I heard, like, a story from the 90s that Triple H was leaving WCW, I think, to go to WWE, and Randy Savage went up to Ric Flair and was like, hey, can I pin Triple H in under a minute? And he's like, no, we don't do that here. He's leaving. We're not going to screw him over.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand that shit. Like, the egos that a lot of those people have is just yeah. fucking ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's an ego-driven business. You're creating this character, and in order for your character to be marketable, you have to do all these things, and sometimes it comes at the expense of your fellows.
Yeah, very true. You have to step on some necks to get anywhere.
Yeah, and that's... But not necessarily. I mean...
I think there's a... Even if it's unintentional, I think there's always going to be a neck that gets stepped on for you to go and yeah. do something bigger or whatever.
I mean, but why would you step on necks? Because you're not really, like, getting anywhere with a neck. It's unless you got a fat neck.
You know what I mean.
I'm just saying that Jordan has a fat neck.
So do you.
No, I've got fat chins.
I shaved, and it's like, look, I have a cunt right here. Yeah, here's my clit. It's a shaving cut, but I've got a clit on
this
my
is,
chin.
This is why we need to vodcast, so that people can see our jokes, like Jeremy pushing his face down and poking his finger into his chins.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
I'll do it again. I'll do it live. Just request it. Jeremy, can I watch you masturbate with your chin? Yes. Yes, you can.
$10, patreon.com/JeremyShear.
Yeah.
We found a new perk.
Yeah. For $10 a month, I'll finger my chin. Send you a video. Yeah. So where do you witness other people get bullied, where you find yourself standing up to it?
Sometimes I'll see somebody, like, ragging on a comedian, and I'll go, they're not bad, or they're trying.
Yeah.
Mm. Or I'll be like with my like I'll be at a party, and I'll hear someone like talking bad about like someone I know, and I go, "They're not bad."
Yeah, just like shut up, fucking yeah. mind your own business.
Yeah,
and I mean, and it does. Like you said at the very beginning, it does come from a place of insecurity. I mean, it definitely is. It's people projecting their own shit on somebody else, and you know, and their weaknesses. Go fuck yourself. Like, figure out what you want to do. No, there's no point in trying to constantly bring somebody down, you know, just because that's how you feel.
Yeah, some people think it's, like, dominance.
Yeah.
But, like, we're not animals. We're people. Like, we, like, live in houses, not outside. We don't fight for our food. Like, dominance doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
No. I'm not a big fan of the whole, like, animalistic... things being tied into masculinity, but that's just because, you know, I was basically raised by women, so I don't have that part of my brain.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, I remember how it felt. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't care about being the dominant personality. 'Cause why? What do I get? What do you get for... Yeah. What do I get for, you know, having the one-up? I've one-upped you by establishing the fact that I am better than you in some way. Because you can't really establish the fact that you're completely better than somebody.
No, but I like to establish mental dominance over people. Like, I'm smarter than you and I can handle more than you. Well, try me. I guess that's where my bullying comes in, I guess.
Mm.
I try to think that I'm smarter than everybody. It's not true, but I tell myself that it is. No,
definitely not. Yeah.
Definitely not. I know I'm not smarter than everybody.
Oh, no, I don't actually mean that.
Because this is where I learned I wasn't smarter than anybody. I used to do... did you ever do Academic Challenge when you were in school?
No.
It was basically like a quiz show, and they had the TV show It's Academic on Channel 5, and that was like, you know, the televised version of it, but they had tournaments that you go play in other schools. And, you know, I thought I was a smart guy because I, like, crushed in, like, you know, the dumb classroom games, and I, like, passed all the auditions and shit. But then you go to these schools where, like, that's their life. Like, nothing but trivia. They've got name placards by their little buzzards. They're all dressed in the same uniform. They're buzzing in after 5 seconds and answering all the questions right. I'm like, no, I ain't shit. These guys are smart. And they weren't like shitty about it either. It was just, this is what we do. Like, we crush trivia. And it's like, okay. And, like, I didn't hate him for it. It was just like, oh, this, man, I really didn't know what I was doing here, getting into.
Not as smart as I thought I was.
Yeah. But that's just it. I mean, I think, you know, it's... like, I think I became less dickish once I realized, like, how out of my element that I was in a lot of things. And so there are people that still advocate bullying as basically a method of social change. Like, if you don't get, like, pushed into acting right, then you're not going to do it. So what would be the response to that? Like, does bullying, because you were bullied, are you changing things about yourself?
Well, the one thing that bullying does do, I feel like it gives you thicker skin if you're bullied, because you're like, who cares? It's all been said before. But I don't know. That's a tough one, because how far, like, going into bullying, like, just like mental or physical?
Both.
I think there's lines for each.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's that phrase, like, punch a Nazi, and I think that, I feel like if anyone deserves to get bullied, it's not nerdy guys like me, it's people who hate 90% of the planet.
Yeah.
I
couldn't agree more with that.
I don't like punching Nazis.
You like stabbing Nazis.
Stabbing Nazis.
Yeah.
Look, all I'm saying is 6 million of my people died, and they didn't knock it off until we killed enough of them so that they knocked it off.
Yeah, so, that's correct.
You know, maybe it's time to do that again. You know, maybe it's time to see what Aryans look like in the oven.
Yeah, or, you know, flayed off. Is that what they call it? Flaying?
Yeah. When you peel off parts of their flesh and then feed it to them.
Yeah.
I've thought a lot about this lately. I'm sorry.
No, I understand. Fuck those people.
I don't get how you can hate, like, people for, like, different skin color. It sounds so juvenile and, like, so just, like, cliche, but it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
I remember, like, when I was a kid, people would say that they were not allowed to come over to my house because my father was Jewish. And the reason behind it, like, the kids are just parroting what their parents say.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, they were taught that you can't trust Jews from a young age. And it's just from, you know, all the lies that everybody's told about us forever and ever. And there's whole articles about every single Jew lie that there is. And it's like, well, this isn't true, this isn't true, this isn't true. So
I feel bad for Jewish people because, like, they've been hated on since, like, the dawn of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you owned Hollywood, so there was that.
I mean, that was basically a consolation prize for the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
I mean, you guys have the best, like, bread, the bagel, that's pretty good.
Bagels are amazing.
Yes, they are.
Challah is amazing.
What's the chicken fat called?
The chicken fat?
The chicken fat that, like, you is, like, the base for soups and stuff. I was for schmaltz.
Broth?
No, it's like the, I forget the name of it. They use it at, what's the fucking big New York deli? At Katz's? Katz's. I forget what it's called. It's like a, it's like yellow fat. It's really good. You put it in all kinds of stuff.
I've definitely had it, but I didn't know it had a name.
Yeah, it has a, it has a specific name.
My fat has a first name. It's J-O-R-D-A-N.
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah. All I'm saying is you're fat.
I know.
And you're gay.
But I'm not a chicken.
And you have the grids.
But I'm not a chicken.
No, you're not a chicken. Yeah. But, so here's, here's what I really wanted to get at, because, constantly in my life, I'm reevaluating my past actions to find out if I was really doing the right thing. So, I have often claimed that I have bullied people out of comedy. So I'm going to list a couple examples, and I want you to let me know if I cross...
Bully! Not bully!
Yeah, basically. That's the game we're going to play. At my roast... 7 years ago, Chris Klemm, noted bully.
Yeah. Every time I see him, he's like eating Italian food, and I pointed that out, and he's like, "This is weird because I've only met him twice."
I love Chris.
That was a very anticlimactic story.
Look,
did he stand up and be like, "You got a fucking problem with that?" And he'd punch you, give you a black eye.
No, it whips us.
Ooh. I know what I want to see now. But, so, noted bully Chris Klemm and, you know, secret Italian sympathizer. which, yeah.
All right, so Chris Klemm.
Brings to my roast for his set a bald man with bitch tits who is a speech teacher at the University of Akron. And I say bitch tits. I just told a story earlier about how I got groped for having titties. However, this gentleman was obviously older than middle school or teenager. And he was, like you, Jordan, wearing shirts that were too small for him, showing off his ample bosom. And, you know, it was the whole, like, turtleneck. And so it was like, you know... It was really bad, and then he was bald, he was super Christian, and he would do musical comedy, and none of it was good.
Right.
I did not like him, and he kept wanting to talk to me, because, you know, as a fellow bitch-titted guy, I guess, he thought we could relate. But, you know, I was not a fan. So, Chris brings him up on stage and he does a song about how I was molested by a priest, which, you know, I'm Jewish. Like, how does that make any sense?
Right.
This is the problem that this guy had. So earlier in the day, I had read on his Facebook that his father was hospitalized for major depression and he had visited him in the hospital earlier that day. So as soon as I was given my response at my roast, I said, first of all, fuck you, Chris Klemm, because I was mad that he brought Brett Tipton, which is like, I was like, if anybody won this roast, you did, because he honestly made me mad. And then I turned to this fat, bald, bitch-titted speech teacher, and I said, your dad is in the hospital because he's depressed that he has a faggot son. He started crying, and I only saw him once in the past 7 years at the Sachsenheim, where he did 2 minutes and realized he was out of his element and left.
Fair enough.
So is that bullying, or is that taking care of business?
That's taking care of business.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's not bullying. It's mean. But that's you putting somebody in their place.
It was also a roast, wasn't it?
Yes.
So I think anything goes in a roast.
That is that's the idea.
Everybody feels that way.
No, not everybody. Well, I have rules that I follow. I try not to do any rape jokes, yeah. Although I did last night because somebody did a rape joke. So my response is you shouldn't do rape jokes when you look like you've never had consensual sex. Which did not get a laugh. It got a, but
it's know, pretty funny.
It is what it is. But all right. Here's another example.
Not bully.
there used to be somebody that showed up to basically just to Lakewood Village Tavern. He showed up early, and he would get drunk and do fairly poorly on stage, and then, like, you know, try to get into everybody's conversation and occasionally heckle. And he was just really annoying and really animated, and it seemed like he didn't know what social cues were what.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's like everybody has problems adjusting, but he was like, this was an ongoing thing for a while. And one night I showed up and I had enough because he was drunk and he was yelling and people were addressing him. And the fact that he was getting attention from people still on stage while he was there, and he wouldn't stay the whole night because he'd get too hammered and go home. But, you know, it was just feeding this monster, I thought. So, you know, I tried to be nice first. I went up and said, how many of you are working New Year's Eve? No, neither is he. Like, you're all on the same level. Knock it off. And then he wouldn't stop yelling and screaming during my set. So I was like, I put down the mic stand. And I went up and gave him a few light swats, trying to get him, you know, to knock it off, and tried to pull him off his chair. And he's like, no, no, and holding on to the table. So eventually I went back up after that and tried to keep talking. He kept yelling. So I grabbed his notebook and I went through his notebook and told him that these were bad jokes after reading them. And I was like, oh, here's one joke that's good. And I threw his notebook down and he stopped coming after that.
That's not bully.
No.
No.
Like, if anything, like, he was, like, heckling everybody else, like, interfering after he got his turn.
Well, it's just, I felt bad about it after the fact, because it was like, this kid obviously, you know, had problems, but it was too annoying to, like, you know, take him aside and go, hey, you gotta knock it off, especially because it was alcohol-fueled.
Yeah.
For a lot of it. It's real hard for me.
I'm sorry, you can't bully drunk people. Like, it's a wash right there. You can't fucking bully drunk people. No.
You know,
so no.
Believe it or not, people say I don't get social cues.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
I mean, I believe I told you that.
Oh yeah.
The more I hang out with you, I think it's it's less of a getting social cues and more of a, you're being exposed to different cues, and you're so eager to please.
Yeah, that is true.
And you don't want to mess up. So it just I get it now. It's okay.
Thank you. This is a safe zone.
No, it's definitely not safe. There's never a safe zone around me.
All right.
I could snap at any moment. But that's unlikely to happen since I've been medicated properly.
Seems like you're doing better. In summation, don't bully.
Yeah, don't. Well, we had an episode a while ago where, actually it wasn't on our podcast, where it was said that, you know, why is it Revenge of the Nerds now? Why is bullying no longer okay? Why isn't, you know, basically the struggle for dominance and competition dominating day-to-day life anymore? So why is that? Why are we now finally saying enough is enough? Like, this isn't working for us anymore.
I think times have changed. And also, I think I feel like there's certain instances where people take it, like, bullying's bad no matter what, but people take it really, really, really far. I wrestled in high school. I wasn't good, but there's this other team that was, like, the neighboring schools, and one day, all the sophomores, juniors, and seniors hazed the freshmen at a wrestling match, and they, like, locked them in the locker room. And I talked to some of the guys, this one guy was shoving like broomsticks up their butts, and like I talked to this like one really big kid, like the heavyweight. He's like 285 pounds, and like he's a redneck. And he told me, he's like, yeah, I felt bad. I just had my work boots on and was just kicking them. I was like, that's really dark.
Yeah, that's fucked up. That's really fucked up.
So they were just hazing him to haze him?
Yeah.
Like, that's not hazing. That's fucking, that's violence.
The one guy that was shoving like broomsticks up his butt got charged for like kidnapping.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's exactly what should happen. Like, you know, if you're going to do that kind of shit, and I feel like that's, I think there needs to be consequences for that kind of action. Like, not just that specifically, but bullying in general. Like, if you're going to do it. But if you're going to, there is going to be repercussions for
it. Yeah, that's just awful.
Yeah, that's fucking awful. That's terrible. That's not cool.
Okay, so what, what do you get sodomized with when it's no longer bullying and becomes, like, sodomy?
I think anytime somebody shoves anything up your ass that you don't want up there, that's fucking sodomy.
It's your personal space, and that literally guy invaded it.
Well, like, you know, if you stick a pencil up on a chair and the eraser accidentally penetrates your butt through your underwear, is that sodomy or is that like bullying?
It's not necessary.
Okay, well, what if somebody's given you a couple of swats on the behind and their pinky accidentally penetrates your asshole?
I don't think that's going to accidentally happen unless you got a real loose butthole.
If you're friends, it's okay.
Yeah.
What's a little light sodomy amongst friends, am I right?
Absolutely. I can't agree more. I can't agree more. Absolutely. If you're friends, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was very homoerotic with all my friends, and still to this day am. Like, we'll slap each other's asses, doesn't matter. Grab each other's dicks, doesn't matter.
It's actually awkward being the only homoerotic one.
I've been there before.
You're there all the time.
I don't touch you.
Mr. Grids. Yes, because it's not a good idea.
I know, so I don't do it. I know my place. I'm not a bully.
Yeah. El Hordano Diablo, satanic but not a bully. Chris Clem, big doughy Italian sympathizer, bully.
Was he really a bully?
It's been an ongoing thing for a while now that he claims he never has been a bully. Other people claim that he was a bully.
Because he's been nothing but like nice to me.
Yeah, no, Chris is awesome.
We're kidding with him. Yeah. We love Chris. There are very few people in this business you can trust. Chris Clem is one of them.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He came out to our show in Kalamazoo and came out and hung out with all of us afterwards. And I didn't get to see him much, but when we talked, it was just like, fuck, I love this dude. He's awesome. And we're talking about possibly going on the Chris Jericho cruise together. So there's that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is Fozzy playing?
Yes, they are. Cool. And Ring of Honor is doing an entire show, tournament on the boat. Yeah, dude.
Badass.
Yeah, if you're in, let us know. We're all going to split a cabin. It's going to be a bunch of doughy boys. Except him, maybe.
Yeah. He's you're, not doughy. You're, are you doughy enough to hang with the fat woke boys?
I could get there. I could do some work.
I mean, the food's free once you get there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so we're going to go grab some oatmeal cream pies and get Brett ready for his cruise wait. we got to shout out the sponsors now. This show is sponsored by Jess Falstick. That is at Epic Fall on the Twitter. She can be found every Sunday at the Avenue Tap House on the west side of Lakewood. That show starts around 7. You also sponsored by Britt Fox. It's X Fox Rocks on the Snapchat and Instagram. She's got some projects coming out soon we're looking forward to seeing. And, of course, Plight of the Stripper Herder, which you can find at plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com. It is a chronicle of the strip club industry from a long-time floor guy. So he has not only stories of horror from many, many years working at these clubs and dealing with the employees there, but also tips and tricks of how you can have a better time.
at the strip club. More bang for your buck, if you will. Brett, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah. Anywhere anybody can find you? Like, do you do much social media? Or?
I'm on Facebook, Brett Thomas with two T's. I'm on Twitter at Brett Thomas 2. I'm also on Instagram, Brett Thomas 1896.
Okay.
Why 1896?
Because I was born in 1996 and that one was taken.
So, yeah, this is the long time ago, the great-great-great-great-grandfather, Brett Thomas, the original Brett Thomas, is born in 1896.
He only posts old photos.
When he immigrated from Israel.
He used to get bullied by a guy in Plymouth.
Oh, goddamn Plymouth. The Pilgrims were such bullies. They're the worst. The original Americans, not good. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates bullying as much as Brett Thomas.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep setting up and falling on my face.
This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick. Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle. No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge.
That's Jess Falstick.
This has been the Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.